Welcome to week 6 of this year's Daily Bible Guide from Reservoir Church. In these 6 weeks leading up to Easter, we've been letting the wonderful and weird book of Revelation inspire us to step further into a countercultural and courageous journey of following Jesus as God's children. We've looked for hope and courage to resist the worst of our times, letting Jesus, and not our crazy-making world, center us. I'm Helen Lee, on staff here at Reservoir Church, and I've been reading the guide for us. This year's Bible guide was conceived and written by Steve Watson, senior pastor at Reservoir. Thanks for joining us in our final week before Easter. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 9 through 27. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies 4 square, its length the same as its width, and he measured the city with his rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurements, which the angel was using. The wall is built of jasper, while the city is pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring it into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some points of interest here. One of the seven angels. So far, the angels have been pretty grim messengers, taking John and us on a tour through the very worst of the earth's past, present, and future. After showing us all that we have been or could at our worst become, now the angels excitedly reveal what God is making us all into. The holy city of Jerusalem. John continues with the mixed metaphor of the bride and the city, but starts to put more focus on the new Jerusalem. I'll quote Peterson again on this. Quote, "We enter heaven not by escaping what we don't like, but by the sanctification of the place in which God has placed us. There is not so much as a hint of escapism in St. John's heaven. This is not a long eternal weekend away from the responsibilities of employment and citizenship, but the intensification and healing of them. Heaven is formed out of dirty streets and murderous alleys, adulterous bedrooms and corrupt courts, hypocritical synagogues and commercialized churches, thieving tax collectors and traitorous disciples, a city, but not a holy city." The Bible story begins in a garden, an otherworldly paradise, but it ends with a garden city, the perfection of our current existence. 12 tribes of the Israelites. Everything in the city comes in sets of 12, in honor of Israel's founding 12 tribes and Jesus' first 12 messengers, who were mainly his 12 closest students at first. Some of these are known to history, some barely at all, and the ones who are known are not necessarily admirable and heroic. God can work with the heroic and the tragic, the exceptional and the mundane, to make something strong and beautiful. 1,500 miles. This is no ordinary sized city. Cubes were considered a perfect shape in the first century, thus its dimensions. The Roman Empire also stretched for roughly 1,500 miles from east to west, so this city is approximately as large as John's known world. Each of the gates is a single pearl. In case you were wondering where the phrase pearly gates came from, now you know. They are a part of John's jewel-bedecked city, which isn't meant to come off as gaudy or materialistic, but symbolic of beauty and care and elegance. Architecture is just one of the arts and vocations put to use in the perfect work of God in the new heaven and new earth. I saw no temple. The Bible's narrative begins without a temple, as the whole earth was fit for God to live in. It also ends without a temple. The whole cubic city itself resembles the heart of a temple, and God's presence, again found everywhere, is throughout. The kinds of the earth will bring their glory. People will bring into it the glory of the nations. The best of God's future includes the best of our past and present as well. The best of human culture and achievement will be welcome without any of its downsides. Its gates will never be shut. There will be no night. These are two ways of saying the same thing. Cities had gates to shut each night and in times of threat, to keep out strangers and enemies. Jesus' renewal of all things means the removal of all that is dangerous as well. This again is why evil is excluded, to create the conditions for safety and peace and complete flourishing. A spiritual exercise to try. This week, as Easter approaches and Revelation climaxes with its vision of a new heaven and a new earth, we'll look to cultivate hope. What are some human achievements you most love? In food, sport, music, culture, whatever. Consider that even the best of life we know has downsides too. I think, for instance, of a Boston cream from my favorite donut shop and know that too many of these will make me sick and eventually kill me. But now consider a future that contains all the best elements of life, the glory and honor of the nations, but cleansed of all their problems. Tell God about the holy city you hope God is preparing, or write about it, or draw a picture. Ask God to show you how God's future for us all is even better than that. And a direction for prayer. Pray for some of the largest companies or industries you can think of in your city or region. Ask God to grow all that they do that is glorious and honorable, and to lead people to renew and purify them of all that is false or harmful or in any way abominable.